Please turn to the Gospel of John, and we thank everyone for coming tonight. I know some of from other assemblies around to support the effort, and certainly it's noticed and appreciated, and we know the Lord notices it and appreciates it too. And for any who have come, perhaps second time or first time, a special welcome, so please you come. Notice John chapter 3, I'm going to read one verse there. Please notice verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, just turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 9, please. John's Gospel, chapter 9. And perhaps we could read from, let us read from verse 35 for connection. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now, the Lord help us to perhaps explain a little bit of this text tonight as it relates to our gospel meeting. I want to draw a special note as we've read this to verse 39. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now, you know, often when talking to people regarding eternal things, so often the conversation goes something like this. Well, yes, I believe in God. I accept that I believe in God. And then we go to the next step. What about the scriptures? Do you believe the Bible, what it says? Oh, yes, I've been taught to believe the Bible. Then you go, of course, to the third step. Well, do you realize here where the Bible says? And then you get into the static. And then you get into the retorts. And if you're speaking, of course, to an unregenerate man, it's not very long before he'll start to criticize the very word and express his doubts in it. And a very common expression, really, that we meet, you know, in seeking to testify for the Lord, is to say, well, you know, the Bible contradicts itself. Now he's all out in the open, and now the colors are showing, you see. Believes in God, he's up the Word, yes, and what the Word says, he starts a static, and when you start to bring upon the person personally, and the light of the Scripture starts to show on the conscience, and on the heart, Well, that's where all the trouble starts. Well, there are scriptures which on first reading may appear to be contradictory and might be a little difficult to understand at the first reading. And that's why I read that scripture over in John, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he said, I came not into the world, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then in our text that we read in John's Gospel chapter 9, you see there in verse 39, and he says, for judgment I am come into the world. And very strange words indeed on first reading, that they which see not might see, and they, this is the hard part, which see might be made blind. Rather difficult to understand. Now we know that Christ came into the world to bring peace. And there's another verse that often we grapple with and think, well, there's a contradiction. Because again, the Lord, peace on earth, goodwill to men. I am come that ye might have peace. And then in Matthew's Gospel chapter 10, the Lord Jesus preaching there, he says, think not that I am come to bring peace, but a sword. He said, I am come to put a man at variance with his own household. And matter of fact, he says, a man's foes should be they of his own house. It's difficult. I think the other night when we were speaking, might have been confusing. We were saying, you know, how that people get into their head that all the good people will go to heaven and the bad people go to hell. It's not that way at all. And it's confusing, I'm sure, when we say that it's just the opposite. It's the bad people that go to heaven. The good people go to hell. And we tried to explain that from what the scripture says elsewhere. How that the Lord Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. How that he said again, he said from the lips of the Savior himself, that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And it's only when we come to the realization indeed, and let the light of the truth of the Word of God shine upon our hearts, and we confess before God Almighty that yes, I have sinned before heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. Then there's hope. And I want to say to anyone in this meeting tonight, if you've never come to that place, when you've realized that you're bad, when you've realized that you're blind, you're not on the way to heaven yet. Everyone that passes from death into life first realizes that they're dead. The Bible says, dead in trespasses and in sins. And it's a very real thing to trust Christ and be saved for time and for eternity. You'll never forget the experience. It's riveted on your heart like nothing else in life. Never could Bartimaeus forget that day when he cried, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Son of God stood still and commanded him that he be brought to him. And he addressed the poor blind beggar. He said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Christ gave him his sight. Do you think Bartimaeus would ever forget that day? No way. What about the Philippian jailer? When after the earthquake, he's waking up. Supposing that the prisoners had all been fled, and he took a sword, and he was just about to fall on the sword in desperation. And he hears the voice of Paul, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And it says he called for a light,
and came in trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What did they say? Know the answer?
Sure, they said, "Well, you go out and join a good church, and you kind of reassess your life and get it squared around, and do a little bit of preaching on the side, and take a Sunday school." None of that stuff.
And the message is the same in 1994 that it was nearly 2,000 years ago when Paul and Silas addressed that trembling jailer who had just hours before laid the lash on their back. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and your household as well, if they believe in Christ." Would he ever forget that red letter day? Why, that be riveted in his mind, in his heart, in his soul, and it'll be there for not only for time, but for all eternity. Now I want to ask each one on this side of the hall tonight, have you a time in your life like that? When experimentally realizing your guilt and helplessness before God, you knew what it was to pass from darkness into light. That's another way the Bible puts it. It says that we're taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. What about this side of the hall now? I challenge you. Can you remember that time and that experience in your life? When, yes, I can remember. Isaiah could remember it. He says it was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord high and lifted up. My, he knew what it was to know the guilt of sin. He said, "Behold, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." You remember the day. I can remember the day in my own life, turn it around, and I remember it too well. And there was scripture like this that spoke to my heart, and I trembled, I feared. And the verse which convicted me of my sin was in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, and it's verse 1, and this is what it says. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his will shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Spoke to my conscience. I thought, that is most precisely and exactly what I'm doing. I'm hardening my will. This is why people don't want to come to gospel meetings. This is the whole thing in a nutshell. Because once again, we're going to be confronted and reminded of the very things that we don't want to meet and the things we don't want to remember. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Why, that's contrary to nature. That's what we're trying to forget and put aside. The soul winner, or the gospel preacher, or the Sunday school teacher, or responsible to remind us of those things. And then there was another verse in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. I think it's verse 3. "And God said, My spirit will not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And you know, I kind of, as a young man, I was enjoying the world. And I thought, yes, I would like to be saved. I'd like to know my sins forgiven. Must be great to know you're a Christian. And I thought that someday that's exactly what I'll do. I'll believe in Christ. And someday I'll just reach inside here somewhere around, I don't know, the back, and there's a button, I'll push it, and I'll trust the Lord, and it's just all that easy. I want to say, it is not that easy. Well, you say you make the gospel seem so easy, you say it's simple, that it's free, that Christ has done all the work. The Lord Jesus said, and here's another seeming contradiction, He said, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able.
Speaking to the Pharisees here, he said, I came to judge, and for those that see, I come to make them blind. You know, it's the truth is like this. The same sun that melts the snow is the same sun that hardens and bakes the clay. And you know, as a young man in my mid-teens, I realized exactly what's happening to myself. That's what was happening. And when I would hear the sweet strains of the gospel, I knew that I was rebelling against it. And I was putting other priorities first. And I could see the wickedness in that. And it convicted me of my sin. Listen, what God says concerning His people Israel. Concerning Israel. He says, blindness in part hath happened unto Israel until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. I doubt if there's a Jew in this meeting tonight. Not likely. Not to say that some don't get saved and trust Christ, but they're thus certainly such a minority. Listen, at the beginning, it was all the Jews that believed it. But in the rejection, Paul says, blindness, because they turned their back. And they said no. And they procrastinated. And they put it off. Blindness, in part, had happened to Israel. And he says, when Moses is read, that's the Bible, he says there's a veil over their heart, lest they understand. You see, with privilege brings responsibility. What a responsibility in a land like Canada. Overwhelmingly responsible. Now think of the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 11. He said, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. He said, if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have remained unto this day. And thou, Capernaum, which is exalted to heaven, they had all kinds of light they could see. Shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, they would remain. Thou Jerusalem, thou which stoneth the prophets and rejecteth them that are sent unto thee, says, how often I would have gathered thee, as a hen doth gather her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. He says, I say unto you, listen, this is Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus said, it shall be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom than for you. The words of Christ. These are scriptures sometimes you don't hear and you don't take in. Is God a God of love and mercy and grace? Aye, He is that. John writing, you know, John the writer of love, in his epistle, he put it so beautifully, you know. He says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. But you know, God, the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of grace, He's a just and a holy and a righteous God. And as such, His righteousness and His justice demands that sin be judged. Now that's not hard to understand. and every sin that was ever sinned by the human race, from Adam down to this very youngest one in this gathering tonight, all of your sin, every one of your sins, will be adequately judged and punished to the satisfaction of a thrice holy God. My sins, every one, judged, punished, thoroughly thrashed, until the righteousness of Almighty God is satisfied. I'm thankful I don't take it myself. And for those that won't accept the sacrifice, in love he says, all right, but you don't have to bear it yourself. I'll lay it on my son. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. That's the message of the gospel. Now you've got it. Now, if there's one tonight, right now, and you think, I would like to get the matter settled, I'd like to be saved. Put it this way. Isaiah chapter 53, and it's verse 5. Put the personal pronoun in. Put your own name. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I'm healed. Listen, dear one. That's what I got at approximately 20 minutes after 8 on December the 19th, 1943. It was in the city of Toronto, East End of Toronto. That's what I got that night, that assurance. And I'll tell you, I haven't got one thing more to me. Not one. I don't need one thing more. You don't pay for it or earn it after you get it. It's all completely and adequately dealt with and paid for by the work of Christ. I thank God for that. And we rejoice in it. We're talking about the difficulties. Too much is given. Much shall be required. And I want to think of the Lord, you know, in the dealings of God. Paul writing to the Romans, you know, he says, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I can't explain it all. This is according to God's eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ before the world began. It was his plan. And he knew you, every one of the hairs of our head, he says. Every cell of our body knows our DNA and our fingerprints. Every one that was ever born. It wasn't an emergency when man took Christ and crucified him. Again, Peter's the preacher. And he says it was according to the determinate counsels and the foreknowledge of God ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up. For it was not possible that he should be holden of death. Thank God for that. Concerning the believers, writing to the ones at Ephesus, he says it was according to God's mercy. And he says, we were chosen in him, he said, before the foundation of the world. I don't understand that. Paul writing to Titus, here's his words. He says, in anticipation of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Who did he promise?
I believe it was the Father making that promise to the Son. When he laid down the great plan of his eternal purpose to reach out to mankind. Oh, and sinners say no. Sinners say no. And the worst of all sinners is those that have the light. And those that profess to know. And the privileged. The worst of all is the religious sinners. That was the problem in our text. The poor blind man, Christ didn't give him his sight. They asked him, he said, look who made you whole. If this man's a sinner, referring to Christ. He's looking, he says, if he be a sinner or not, he says, I don't know. But he says, there's one thing I know. He says, where I was blind, now I see. He'd never forget, he'd never forget that day. He says there, he says, from the beginning of the creation, he says, it's never been known that a man born blind receive his sight. It's a miracle. I'm going to tell you there's a lot of miracles here tonight. God has dealt in a spiritual way and saved their soul. Not only for the best of this life, but for all of eternity. And I want to tell you from the depth of my heart tonight, and I wouldn't lie to you, on the strength of that scripture, make no mistake about it. Don't trifle with the things of God and play fast and loose. Because as sure as you're sitting on that seat, take it from this man on the platform tonight. Take it from what he quotes in the scripture. That God will most surely and most definitely, according to his decree, will punish your sin. And if you turn your back on one God's one provision, and I must emphasize, there is that one provision. Only Christ was good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. No one else in all the universe of God qualified. There's modern day sects, and they go around and they tell us that Christ really is was the highest created angel or cherub. I want to tell you that it wasn't an angel or a cherub that died for me. It was Christ, the Son of God, that died. And I believe on him. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? As I believe. And he worshipped him. I'll tell you, if you believe on him, you'll want to worship him. The Lord said, he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. That word's a very definite word. Agonizio, I believe by my Greek's pronunciation is right. We get the English word agonize, and it has the thought of giving every muscle strain, everything you've got, strive to enter in. Not calling for your good works, but you know there's so much. When you come to that place, when you say, God be merciful to me, the sinner, I tell you it's easy then. Once a person gets to that point, it's easy. What must I do to be saved? I tell you it's easy then. Lord, that I might receive my sake. Oh, it's all so simple. But I tell you, you'll have a tough, hard job getting to that point. There's so much it in you. Number one, you've got a world out there that's against you, and everybody in it's against you. And you've got a common enemy that we all have, our adversary, the devil. And I'll tell you, maybe the biggest problem of all is our own wicked heart. Your own wicked nature, your defiled heart is against you. And that's what the Lord meant exactly when he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Brother Brian's going to preach the gospel. You've enjoyed him over the past nights. I'll tell you, he'll make the gospel clear. Drink it. I appeal to the audience tonight. Drink the message in. God's word for it. To as many as received Christ, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. May God help you to be strong.